Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people gathered here and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit that we may be recreated, and through us you will renew the face of the earth. Amen. When was the last time you did nothing? I mean literally, did nothing. Sat in a chair, put your feet up, and just relaxed. Allowed your mind and body and spirit to relax. Freed yourself from thinking about what needed to be done or who needed your help or, well, anything at all. Just let go of everything and relaxed. Can anyone here honestly recall the last time you did that? The last time you gave yourself permission to rest. Really rest, really relax, really take some Sabbath time. Today's readings concern just such time. In Hebrew, the word Sabbath is rooted in the word sabbat, which means to stop or to cease. It was set forth in the Ten Commandments for the people of Israel as a day of rest, because according to the creation story in Genesis, on the seventh day, after all the work of creation, God's own self rested. It was seen as a gift to the people of Israel, as even slaves and animals were to be given time off from labor, giving one and all a time of refreshment and rest, of renewal and restoration. But over centuries of time, the law had been expanded, added to, and by the time of Jesus, there were 39 activities which were expressly forbidden if one was to keep the letter of the law. And that was what the Pharisees were all about, the letter of the law. No tempering it with compassion, no. The most important thing was that the law be kept totally, completely. And then along comes Jesus, the renegade Galilean rabbi with his disciples. As they walked through the fields of grain, and as they were hungry, the men began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat them. The watching Pharisees were incensed. "That's not lawful," they said. And we can imagine them looking reprovingly at Jesus, tisking about how this supposed rabbi was unable or unwilling to keep his disciples in tow. What kind of a faith teacher was he? We can imagine them thinking. What kind of example was he setting for his disciples? After all, the law said that any food eaten on the Sabbath was to have been prepared the day before, so that no work would be done on the Sabbath. But Jesus doesn't get into a debate. Doesn't let himself get sucked in. He simply reminds them about how their greatest king, David, entered the temple and ate the bread reserved for the priests and shared it with his companions because they were hungry. And in spite of the fact that this was against the law and actually punishable by death. The Sabbath was made for humankind, Jesus said, and not humankind for the Sabbath, reminding them that it had always been intended as a gracious gift from a grace-filled God, reminding these guardians of the law that legalism must always be tempered with mercy and inclusion in the realm of God. Always. Mercy. Inclusion. Then we're told by Mark, Jesus entered the synagogue and saw there a man with a withered hand. And the eyes of the Pharisees were on Jesus to see what he would do. Could they catch him up in law-breaking yet again? After all, according to Mark's gospel, the religious leaders were already looking for ways to discredit and destroy Jesus because of his teachings, which they considered heretical. Teachings about God's love and compassion and forgiveness, about helping the least of these and loving your enemy. And because of the company he kept, associating with those that the righteous religious felt were not worthy of their attention and care, who were in fact dubbed sinners and outcasts. And Jesus said to the man, "Come here," which means that he saw him as a person worth his time and attention. And then turning to the watching, judging eyes around him, he asked, "Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath? To save life or kill?" Knowing full well that none of the 39 forbidden activities included doing good or saving life. And he restored the hand of the man, which so ticked off the Pharisees, good religious folk that they were, that they began conspiring with a rival party, the Herodians, to figure out how to do away with this troublemaker. A familiar story, right? We've heard it so many times before. Jesus standing up to the religious leaders to heal the hand of a man right in front of them, in seeming defiance of them and their laws. But there's something more at stake here, something far deeper going on. For more is broken and in need of healing than this man's withered hand. The very religious system of that day and time is conspiring against this man and others like him with their rules and regulations, with their demands and expectations, with their laws about who was in and who was out. You see, Jewish law at that time had it that a person with any kind of physical deformity could not enter into the worship space. Any kind of physical deformity or infirmity. The synagogue had a kind of narthex, if you will, a gathering place or portico where anyone could come, a place where beggars, those crippled or blind or missing a limb or unable to work for any reason, would come to beg from those coming to worship, hoping and trusting that good religious folk would feel enough compassion to open their purses and share with those less fortunate. This, after all, was also part of the expectation of Jewish tradition, of the teachings of the prophets. But none of these people, these outcast, malformed people, were permitted to enter the sanctuary where worship actually took place. And the man who approached Jesus was among those excluded from worship. Not only was he considered an outcast or outsider in his community because of his physical deformity, but he was not permitted to be part of the worshiping community of the faithful. It was as if the people around him were saying to him, "You're different makes you not okay enough to join us in worship. And by the way, your hand is probably withered that way as a punishment from God for something you did or didn't do. As they made their way into worship on that particular Sabbath, or any other for that matter. Look around this sanctuary this morning. I'm sure there are people here who use canes, people wearing hearing aids, perhaps even someone with a prosthesis of some kind, perhaps someone suffering with a mental illness or depression. Now imagine that we, and I include myself because of my less than perfect vision, would be excluded from worship because of our less than perfection. Excluded by the very religion we profess because of its interpretation by some of the insiders determined to keep us out. And it hurts to be an outsider for any reason, doesn't it? But at times, we, you and I, if we're going to be honest, we consider ourselves to be the insiders, reluctant to welcome those unlike us, those that we might, in the deepest places inside ourselves, think are less than us. People who look different, or speak differently, or even smell differently. Easier to exclude, to shut out, than to welcome those unlike ourselves. The Pharisees felt that, knew that, believed that, but Jesus didn't, which was one of the reasons they wanted to get rid of him. He was a threat to the status quo, to things remaining as they were, to their world of rules and laws and right and wrong and in and out carefully spelled out. In this morning's reading from 2 Corinthians, Paul recalls to the worshiping community in Corinth that we have the treasure of the presence of God in our lives in clay jars, which means that each and every one of us is far from perfect, that we are truly fallible and breakable with countless flaws. Each and every one of us, no exceptions. And if this is true, and I believe that it is, then there can be no insiders and outsiders. For each and every one of us, each and every person you meet, each and every person in every place on this earth is a created child of God. And the Spirit of God lives in them, whether they know it or not. Which means that God's gracious gifts, including the gift of Sabbath rest and refreshment and renewal and recreation, are for all people. This is what Jesus the Christ came to tell us, to show us. The gifts of forgiveness and welcome and inclusion and acceptance are for all people. The gifts of human community are for all people. And just as nothing can separate us from the love of God, so we should let nothing separate us from one another. As that divine love flows in and through us on this Sabbath day, on every holy ordinary day. Thanks be to God. Amen.